Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is good to have you here. God bless you. And thank you for your patronage, I think is the polite term. Let's have a word of prayer, and then let's sing some of these songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, just for showing the BBC weather forecast to be incorrect and giving us the opportunity to be up at the Crescent Lamp this afternoon. I pray you, Father, please, that for your will to be done, for your word to be preached, Lord, that the praises and prayers and the tithes and the offerings and the fellowship and the just this time we've set aside, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. Please take it and use it to shape us and mold us and help us. And Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done here this evening and for souls to be saved. Thank you for all your many helps, most importantly, for your free, forever and sure salvation, Lord, for your word, for the Holy Spirit, and Lord, for being there and having an ear open for us. Please bless each head that's bowed in your presence here today and across the land, Lord, all of those souls that take time out from their week to spend it in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray, work in us and on us, and don't be done with us. We love you and thank you. I pray you, Lord, that you would continue to oppose those that oppose you, to curse those that curse you, Lord, and to bless those that bless you and your people. Please look after Israel, especially as they fight their corner, Lord, and please give them victory after victory, and please protect all those that are fighting on behalf of her. We leave these things at your feet, Lord. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big books this evening. And if you would like to take and just see if I can find that. What was the one that you picked, John? 240, that's what I thought it was. Oh, there it is there. Hiding behind beside the other one. 240 in the big books is the Lily of the Valley. We'll remain seated as we sing. Let's make a joyful noise. Amen.
The Valley
Sung before, hymn number 353. This one is called From Every Stormy Wind. From Every Stormy Wind, 353. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated. But as long as you make a joyful noise, let's sing 353.
Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth from the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness, for they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared to thee, before it came to pass, I showed thee, lest I should say, my idol hath done them, and my good image, and my molten image has commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not he declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest I should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, gaze from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou would deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Your life refine thee, but not in silver, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Hark not to me, O Jacob and Israel, I called, I have thee, I am the first, I also am the last. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him, he will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come near unto me, hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and the Spirit has set me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which taketh thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. O that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel or off. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them to the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleared the rock also, and the water gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Amen.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for that. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one on the little green prayer lists. And the only thing that we don't have now, do you have any private prayer requests, John? Do you want me to put a line under your name so that we're praying for your private prayer request? Does anybody else have? I think we got it. Do you have any private prayer requests and we'll pray for them? You don't have to give us the details.
No, I'll be open a bit. Pray for the Lord to bring Aaron Dougherty to salvation, because me and Mitchell are praying about it at the present moment.
Is that her nephew?
Yes.
He was here once or twice with David, wasn't
yes.
he?
He's on the list as well. He's on the list, Mark.
Is Aaron on the list?
Aaron, under me, salvation.
Have you checked that?
He is under well.
There he is. Certainly will. Certainly will. Haven't heard very much from David of late, but we will certainly pray for him and for Aaron. The only thing I have to add extra to what's there for right now is that Norman had prayers answered this week. We're glad of that. And pray for Will's ear. Difficulties that he's having right now, if you would. A quick visit to the doctors will clear that up. Would ask if you would continue to pray for the Dear King family. That was a lady who went in and had to have a treatment that was so severe on her body that she lost all four of her limbs. She lost her arms from the elbows down, and she lost her legs nearly from the hips. So please do pray for the Dear King family. That lady is out. She has a number of young children, and she is motoring on with life. So please do pray for that family. There's a lot of other things going on. I would ask that you would pray specifically for John Henry and his family, and for the work being done at the church. And there's stuff happening in Israel, there's stuff happening in Russia, in Ukraine, in China, with Taiwan, and all over the place. There are wars and rumours of wars everywhere, just like the Lord said there would be. But you know who's not fighting them? The people causing them. It's always the young men and the young women. It's never the people that cause the wars that are out fighting them. So please do pray for those people who need to be saved. All right. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, do indeed thank you, Father, for the invitation to come before you at any time. Lord, for the promise of the peace that passes all understanding, when we tell you all our troubles and all our wants, and Lord, we give you all of our thanks. And I pray you this evening, Lord, and thank you for all that you have done for us, even for being here, Lord, and fired up in the good weather when it's supposed to be bucketing outside. Thank you, Lord, for showing yourself again to be the master of the wind and the rain. I pray, Lord, for young Aaron. He's heard the gospel. I don't know what it is that goes on in people's hearts, Lord, but they just refuse you. But, Lord, I pray you for him and for the rest of his family, for David as well, for his mother, and, Lord, for the rest of the family that bears the brunt of him not being saved. I pray you for him, Lord. Pray you for John Henry and his family, Lord. I pray you, Lord, that we would be able to resolve his issues and help him to get over years of hurt. And Lord, just pray that you would continue to work there in his heart and mind. Pray also for Henry Craig, Lord, and his family. I pray you, Lord, for the church land and the house and the cars. And we thank you, Lord, for just keeping us all heads above water and boating. I do pray indeed for William's wee fella, Ellis, who seems to have picked up the chicken pox, Lord. And I pray that it would not be sore on him, Father, but that he would get over it. We know, Lord, that you can do anything, and we pray this. Nobody likes to see little children suffering, Lord. I pray you, please, that you would please heal them quickly. Pray for Israel. I pray, Lord, for President Trump and his family and the people that are involved in trying to keep America on its feet. I pray for our own country, Lord, that's not looking good. I pray you, please, for Nigel Farage. I pray you'd be able to lead a charge and throw a stick in the spokes of a left-wing, anti-Christian, anti-family government, Lord. Please, Lord, at every turn, oppose those that hate you. Please bless us, Lord, our families, help through us or by us, Lord. I pray for that, again for Israel, Father, for our many blessings, provisions, and safety for all of the soldiers there. And I pray for great victories, Lord, against all those that oppose them. Please bless our time in your presence, Father. Please take and use us when it comes to speaking to those around about us about the great things that you've done for us and will do for others. And Lord, we really would like a part in seeing souls saved, Father. So take us and use us. And Lord, whenever you come knocking, I pray you, Father, that you would find us ready and willing to answer. I know there's a lot of other stuff, Lord, and you know what it is, especially for our private prayer requests this day. You know what they are, and I pray that you would grant them according to your will. We do indeed love you, Lord, and we don't have appreciate you, and we don't know what we've been saved from, Lord. But I pray you, Lord, for an edifying and a helping and an understanding, especially as the days go on. We love you and thank you. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Right. We are back in the big hymn book again, if you would like to take and turn to... Let me see. Yep, there it is. Let's just find it. Open. Hymn number 51. Hymn number 51, that's one that has beautiful chords and things. It's called Where We'll Never Grow. If your foot will stand as we sing, hymn number 51, Where We'll Never Grow.
By Jesus on high, there we are.
may be seated. Thank you very much. We're switching books again, this time into the book. And if you would like to take and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, that's towards the back of the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I would like to spend a few minutes this evening speaking on the subject of a little verse from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, I do believe it is. It's called, "Let God be true and every man a liar." That's the verse, and that's, we're going to take that as our title this evening. Let God be true and every man a liar. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read the first 9 verses of this portion of God's word. Just as an aside, 2 Peter 3 has a similar thrust with the theme of these of this verse, which is a warning, not for Paul or Timothy, for us, from 2,000 years ago, and it is such an accurate description of the way many people are in this day and age. It's like someone was just looking at the world today. Anyway, let's read. This is what Paul said in his second letter to a young preacher called Timothy. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also." Amen. One of the things that we're going to be thinking specifically on verses 4 and 5, sadly inspired by a conversation I had this afternoon in the car park, but amen. We'll have a look at this. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray for us, please?
Yeah, Father, thank you for this night, and thank you for bringing safe and security to your house and your presence today, Lord. Be with and over as he's in head as represented, Lord. See us those mighty and powerful as well, Lord. Fight this man, church houses as well, Lord. Whenever the word of God is opened up and preached from, Lord, with those that are saved, Lord, teaching, talking to the all saved, the backslidden as well, Lord, turn these people to thee and to thy soul for salvation. Be with us, give us, Lord, as I said, it's a new Christ center with, Lord, be with us as well, Lord. Give us a seal of blessing that, Lord, may you give us more of your beautiful grace, Lord, and more of your love, Lord. We need it every day, Lord, and we need to supply it, Lord. We may be truly grateful for all the wonderful gifts and love you've given us thus far, Lord, in our lives, Lord, and for the gift of salvation to Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, with the present ministry, Lord, and the traction of the doors yesterday, Lord, use the mighty power that is only cast, Lord, and bring men and women and children, Lord, to the saving knowledge of salvation of Jesus Christ, Lord. We also give us, Lord, and give more to the Spirit, Lord, make our hearts and our minds and our souls receptive to the message, Lord. Give us a blessing, Lord, and teach us new things, Lord, may you be well, as you take it to the board, Lord, and bless the case, please pass it again.
Amen. The title is "Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar." We are specifically talking about verses 4 and 5 from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I have spoken on this portion of God's word before. Many times I know there's preachers that love preaching about everybody out there, everybody in front of the pulpit, but this is aimed squarely behind the pulpit. And I hope it will be a help to you and will help you to understand just exactly why the world is in the situation it is in right now, because of these men and indeed women that pretend to be ministers of God, but really they're just pulling their pockets. Knowing what the future is going to bring to us has always been a fascination of mine. In fact, I was so fascinated with it that it nearly destroyed me as a much younger man, because instead of I never had the Bible preached to me in its entirety. I never had prophecy explained to me or any examples given me from the Bible. I don't even think the minister in the church that I went to even knew half of the prophecies in the Bible. But it nearly destroyed me. It took me down a very dark path. And it wasn't until the Lord shone the light and everything that it would have done to me that I saw where I should have been going, accepted Christ as my Saviour. And I don't reject all the knowledge of what I looked at and read all those years ago, but I do reject the author of it and the power of it. It is designed to do nothing but lead stupid people astray, to take people up the garden path and leave them high and dry, lost and not knowing what way they're going. This is a warning for you and I today, because these days are perilous times. 2 Peter chapter 3 begins in a very similar vein, only takes it so much farther, right up to the end of the world, and leaves us with a challenge. If all of these things are going to be burned up with a fervent heat, what sort of people should we be? Should we be spending our days building kingdoms in this world? I know we've got to make a living, and I'm not against that, but should that be our only aim? Or should we aim to do something for God, to listen to the man that saved our souls and provided us a home in heaven? These are dangerous days. A cousin of Christine's explained to me about a decade ago that this country that we live in is like a boiling pot full of trouble with a lid on it. And the lid's only about that thick. And if you were to lift the lid off, you would see everything that is going on underneath, and most people never do. You would think that Paul had seen what was going on today, because he described the way people are today. People love themselves. We read a little bit about that in Isaiah 14 this morning, where people believe that they are gods in their own little universes. Men should be lovers of their own self. They'll be covetous. They want what other people have, but they're not prepared to put the work. They even want to be God, but they're not prepared to be God. They're covetous and they're boasters. Always wanting to be at the top of the pile. Always wanting people to look at them and give them likes. Oh, I got 1,000 likes. I got 2,000 likes. I have figured out early on, maybe not so early on in my life, that I don't have the body parts or the limbs to lose to get all the likes that I need, because the most likes I ever got was whenever I was in hospital and Monica was giving updates on my progress. I don't have the organs to give up to get a big follow on Facebook, but people will literally do anything to get people to say, oh, you're wonderful. They're proud. God speaks for itself. And they're blasphemers. And you know what? A blasphemer is not going to be obedient to their parents, because their parents is the authority in this world that they can see. And if they're not going to be obedient or honor their mothers and fathers, you'll be sure as shooting they're not going to honor a God they can't see. And every single thing you do for these people, what's expected? I am owed this living. They're unthankful. And they're most certainly not going to heaven. They're unholy. There's no natural affection. You know what natural affection is? It's the affection that you have for little children, regardless of who they are. That you want to pinch their wee cheeks. You want to lift them up and keep them from the dog or whatever that's running at. You want to protect little children. You want to protect the fairer sex. I am going to tell you of one instance when I was 16 years old. I was walking home from the Portadown College on an icy day, and there was a very nice lady who was a teacher who slipped and fell, and I walked past her. And I was convicted, even as a lost man, so much about being a gentleman in instances like that, I never walked past a person again in difficulty. There's none of that. There's nobody cares about anybody else now, barring certain circles. They're truth spreaders. You couldn't believe the thing they say. They are false accusers. How many people have this very church was taken to task to the tune of £40,000 or £50,000 about 15 or 20 years ago by a woman who claimed I dragged her the full length of the church in the car. She didn't have a scratch on her, mind you, and she has since gone into eternity, and I'll always wonder where. But she took that off my insurance policy, a false accuser. And she never did well for it afterwards. And that's just me, personally. I am sure you've come across people that have accused you of many things. I was even accused today of being a hateful man, a hateful minister. But you have incontinent people. They're not able to control themselves. Fierce people, always up for a fight, although I have seen many, many of these dairy fights. There's normally about four or five of their friends between them and the person that they're fighting, and they're all brave, jumping up over people's shoulders. And more importantly, they don't like Christians. They're despisers of those that are good. We get on to the next verse, and this always puzzled me, because the Lord is very plainly talking about lost people here. He's talking about lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, unholy. So why then would he be talking about traitors? He's just described a bunch of people with very, very low character, people that you really wouldn't want to bring home to meet your mom and dad for whatever reason. But why would he call these ones traitors unless he was describing people that were doing one thing when they should actually have been doing something else? Guys like me. Guys that are standing behind the pulpit. And this is the description that Paul gave to young Timothy nearly 2,000 years ago. He says a lot of these guys that stand behind the pulpit will think they're above everybody else. I have been to university. I have a degree in theology. In fact, if you're in the Presbyterian Church and you're going through the mill, you have to have 2 degrees. You have your primary degree, and then you go for another 2 or 3 years to the Union Theological College and pick up your degree in theology. So, really, the things that I know are they're beyond you, and I'm going to bite off a little bit and chew it for you and feed you like a mommy bird does to her baby bird. That's what that's saying. Now they're high-minded. And they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Those two things, generally speaking, are incompatible. You can't love a life of ease and a life of thrills and spills and claim to be a Christian. Because loving a life of ease was never on the cards for a believer in Christ. Even from the very beginning, God said to his son Adam, you will get the increase of the ground by the sweat of your brow. You'll have to put a bit of oomph and effort into it. But a lot of these ministers, goodness, my father knows of a minister just retired. She wouldn't even go and visit anybody in her church, in the Presbyterian church. And she took umbrage at my father because being saved, he asked her one time, he said, Your reverence? When are you going to start telling people they need to get saved? When are you going to preach about you must be born again? You have to understand, my father is a very old-fashioned Presbyterian man who became a Christian in his mid-60s. That minister hated him. And he's not a scholar. He's not a preacher. He's just a saved man that understood people need to hear the gospel preached. And a minister was his greatest obstacle. They have, as the Bible says, a form of godliness. But look apart. Many of these men and women have the collar back the front. And I don't mind a man wearing a collar. And then they have a black frock on with the petticoat on the outside. And they walk in. It reminds me of the Emperor walking away with Anakin Skywalker just being burnt to a crisp on Mustafar, and his limbs off, and he's walking like this with his entourage. And people think, oh, he's walking with an entourage. He must be important. And there's never one mention of hell. There's never one mention of repentance. There's never one mention of a God that loves you and wants you to get saved and gave his only begotten son so that you could, if you repent and believe, go to heaven. There's no mention of that. It's do the best that you can. And God will weigh your good deeds against your bad and will let you into heaven. I want to tell you something. Two of those statements are absolutely true. We should do the best we can, not to get to heaven, but because we're going to heaven. God will weigh our good deeds against our bad. Our good deeds will never outweigh our bad deeds. And for the Christian, we're going to. God doesn't do that. He just says, look, what did you do for me? There's works of gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble. Which ones have you got? And any gold, silver, and precious stones? You can lay them at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, if it hadn't been for you, I would have done nothing like that. But in the back of the Bible, God's going to say, right, what did you do? Well, I helped little old ladies across the road. God would say, you're supposed to do that. I was faithful to my husband or my wife. God would say, but you're supposed to do that. I raised my kids right. You're supposed to do that. I never stole anything. You're supposed to do that. I never killed anybody. But you're also supposed to not do that, if you know what I mean. And a bunch of people, good church-going people, are going to be standing at that great white throne of judgment. And they're going to be saying, but God, our minister has been telling me that my whole life. God's going to say, look out the window. Do you see that creation? That preaches a message that I am God. And everything is put here by me. Do you remember that Bible you had that you used to keep all the pressed flowers and birth certificates in? Did you ever open that and find out for yourself? No, the minister told us we didn't have to. That all we had to do was listen to him. And he would explain it to us. Did you ever ask him how to get to heaven instead of just like thinking that it's all up to God whether you get to heaven or not? No, the minister told us. He looked important, he sounded important, and he said these and those whenever he was praying and whenever he was reading the Bible. Surely he must have known. What about that gulping that knocked your door one Saturday morning and put a gospel tract through your letterbox and all you could do was curse and swear at him for waking you up at 10:30? That'll be one of those times where the tumbleweeds blow across and the doors in the saloon blow in the wind. What about the time there was another gulping preaching the gospel in the street corner? Do you remember? I don't know. Do the brethren still preach at the corner of the old Woolworth store? I don't know if they do or not. But what about the times you heard those? What about at Christmas time when you heard those carols? And you turned your nose up at them, you snuffed at them and walked away because your minister was going to save your soul. Your minister was a traitor to me. He took your money. He took your life. He took your children. And he's consigned them all to hell because he needed you doing the best he can in the church to pay for his two foreign holidays a year, his change of car every 3 years, and his big house. He was a traitor. And look where you are now. Do you not think this will be a conversation that is repeated over and over again billions of times? Because there's not going to be a few bad people in hell. The Lord said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few will ever say, I really should be looking for the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. Normally this wouldn't bother me so much, except for a few personal experiences. I was 23 years old and I spent all of those years of my life in the Presbyterian Church. And if I ever heard the gospel, I certainly don't remember it. And it was never emphasized as being the single most important part of your Christian life. The fulcrum upon which every bit of your Christian life turns. Never explained it. I then spent 4 or 5 years in the Church of Ireland. And it was only coming to the end of that time that the Lord grabbed a hold of me after being saved, somewhere in between when I was about 23. And said, you need to read your Bible. And he really got a hold of me, and I started reading my Bible. And as I read the Bible, verses jumped out. It was almost like they were lit up with electricity. And I went into the church, and I started listening for these foundational teachings in the church. Church on the Wall, St. Augustine's across the town. Never heard of him. And God got such a grip on me that I didn't even care that I was, what do they call it? Going around the chain of command, is that it? I didn't care. Because the way I looked at it, he's a man, I'm a man, we can speak man to man. I went to visit the minister, he's since passed away. But I did find out he went to school with my mother. He said, Reverend Howe, do you believe that you must be born again to go to heaven? He says, oh yes, I do. Now, I'm not taking a hand out of him. He spoke like that, and so did my mother, because they both went to the same school and they had the same elocution lessons. So I'm not making fun of him. And I said, Mr. Howe, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? And he's coming back to this world, and by the looks of things, pretty soon. Now, this was 20 years ago, maybe longer. He says, I do indeed. I do. I said, Mr. Howe, why do you never mention these things in church? I've been in your church for 5 years, and I've never heard one encouraging message about getting down on your hands and knees, repenting of your sins, and trusting in Christ as your Savior. And me, just starting to read the Bible. You know what I figured out? I figured out that I would be better off pumping iron on a Sunday morning than going to a church and thinking that I was doing well and everything was going to be okay. And it was shortly after that that Bethel Baptist Church found me. And I'm glad of it. Why would people go and be wrung out by a religious institution that doesn't care two hoots about where you're going to be spending eternity and is more concerned about which bank account your money is going to be in at the end of the week? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you should turn around, put your back to that person, and run from them like they're on fire. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to give you a little bit of a brief pressing of what happened this afternoon. I was really hyped. I was full of beans because the sun kept shining in through the windows. And I kept saying to everybody, it's like supposed to be like 80-odd% chance of rain. And I thought, you know what's going to happen today, Lord? That fella Kenny that said he would be there, he's going to be there, and I'm not going to be able to get out with a megaphone and preach the gospel, and he's going to be disappointed. And I prayed, Lord, let the sun shine and show BBC to be as useless as their weather forecast as they are at everything else. We're still having good weather. I was up preaching. I was warning people about hell and judgment to come. What an awful place it was going to be. But it doesn't have to be that way because Jesus made a way to escape it. All you got to do is repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior. And this man in a nice, white, sporty looking Mercedes, I didn't realize what it was at the time, he pulls up and I couldn't hear him because even without the megaphone, if I'm talking, I'm not going to hear what you're saying. So I went over and he stopped and talked and he says, "You shouldn't be doing that." And I said, "What? You shouldn't be. That's hate speech what you're doing. All you're doing is saying people are going to hell." I said, "You're absolutely right." And I said, "If you don't want to go there, if you take time to listen, you would find that all you have to do is repent, tell God you're sorry for your sins, and trust Him to be your Savior." But that's hate speech. Who gave you the right to say it? And I love when people say, "Who gave you the right to say it?" I said, "Are you for real?" He said, "Jesus said to go and preach the gospel to every creature." And I had visions of this was a man who was probably about William's age. He still didn't have much by way of grey hairs. He had dark hair, he had a dark bushy beard, t-shirt and shorts. And he said, "We've done a bit about hate speech, and we've done a bit about you shouldn't be doing that." And I said, I was thinking, "But how else are people going to hear the gospel?" He said, "Well, I was at church this morning. I'm a lay preacher in the Church of Ireland." And I said, "I see. What do you mean by that condescending remark? You're very hateful of all those things that you're saying." I'm going to use a bit of artistic license because I get so hyped up when stupid people say things like that, thinking that they are somebody smart. What does the Bible say? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He said, "You must be a Presbyterian." I said, "I'm a Bible-believing Christian, friend. I am doing what God asked me to do." He said, "Well, that's the end of the conversation." He said, and he turned to leave. What was it I said that he said? Really, what someone should have done is reached into the car and slapped the stupid right out of his head. But the Lord said, "That is not the spirit that we are of." This man claimed to be a lay preacher. You know what a lay preacher is? He's one step below the minister in the church. He is supposed to know the Bible as well as the minister in the church. He is responsible for pointing people to the straight and the narrow road, and that guy couldn't tell his left hand from his right hand. And thought that, "Oh, I've been in church and I've changed out of my church clothes and I'm up here doing the shopping." And he said, "I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe what the Bible, the King James Bible, said." He said, "Oh, I know the King James Bible." And I finished off by saying, "Man, you might know the King James Bible, but you do not know the author of the King James Bible." And away he went. This is what Joe Public has to contend with every week of their lives as they turn up at church and trust the man behind the pulpit that is supposed to be in touch with God, that is afraid of the God of heaven striking him dead for telling them a lie. And that man and his ilk are not. They are the traitors. What do traitors do in a war? They work for the enemy. What do traitors do in the pulpit? They preach for the enemy. They're not preaching the things that God needs for us to know. They're preaching the things that the devil wants to fool us with. And the sad thing about it is, most of us don't know enough of the Bible to stand up and say, "Excuse me, sir, But those things that you said are absolute cobblers. I want to tell you something. You and I are people. We are men and a woman. You are equal in the sight of God to any minister, to anybody that puts on a funny hat and carries a stick, or to anyone that claims to be a servant of the King of Kings. You're equal in the sight of God. God's no respecter of person. And if a man or a woman indeed stands behind the pulpit and says anything different to what's written in the Bible, you know what God said? The book of Galatians said, let him be anathema maranatha. In other words, there's literally a curse on you from God. There is a reason why most of these seats are empty. And many of the people have left Bethel. It's because they wanted to relax and they wanted to vanilla out. They wanted to drink. They didn't want the pronouncements of the Bible. They didn't want to abide by what God said. They wanted to live the way they wanted to live. They wanted to be God in their own hearts. And I'll take you to the door of any and all of them and I will show you not one of them is doing better since they left Bethel. Not one. Their families have imploded. They have walked away from God altogether. Some of them have even got hooked on alcohol. A man started drinking and smoking, was approached by a young man in the church, and he said, look, brother, you shouldn't be behaving that way. And he turned round and gave the young fella a mouthful. And he said, what right have you got to talk to me like that? He said, you did the same for me whenever I was having a speed wobble. You stuck your neck out for me and you chastened me for it. I'm doing you the same favor. Friends, the lies that people tell, people think that because more people tell them that they will suddenly become the truth. One of the big lies people tell at the moment is that a man can turn into a woman, and a woman can turn into a man. I remember a while back, I used to consider myself a man trapped in a woman's body. Until I was born, that was about 59 years ago. That's as close as it gets, friends, when even the very hairs on your head have male DNA in them, or they're made up for a man. Every single cell of a man's body will always be a man. And it doesn't matter if the government says they can be a woman. It doesn't matter if the church says they can be a woman. It doesn't matter if the health service says they can be a woman. And it doesn't matter if the schools say that man can be a woman. They can't be a woman. Sounds like a bit like the conversation we were having at the start of the church. John asked the question, why is everybody going woke? It's to destroy people. And it's the same for women wanting to be men. They used to say the best man for the job is a woman. That's what they used to. I heard that said. But I'm going to tell you something. The best woman for the job is a man. Because it's men that's winning in women's sports. They're winning in swimming. They're winning in weightlifting. They're winning in running. You never hear of a woman saying, I want to enter into the men's weightlifting competition because I think I can win. And one of the weightlifters would probably lift her up on one arm. A lie is a lie, no matter how it's packaged. And the things that these guys say from the pulpit are damning souls to an eternity in hell. And they ought to be stopped. And someday they will. But until then, did anyone ever hear of war chalking in their day? Did you ever hear that? Back in the day, if somebody ever found an unsecured network, they would take a piece of chalk and they would write some symbol on the wall so that other people driving by would know that they would have wireless access. Now everybody has it on their phones, you know what I mean. But someone really ought to war chalk these people's houses and say, like, this guy's a heretic, and if you listen to him, he's going to take you with him whenever he dies. That's what people ought to do. In fact, you know what? That's what the Bible says you should do. I got to thinking about those poor people to listen to. That Church of Ireland lay preacher. And the lies that they have believed. And every single one of them sanctioned by the church, because otherwise he would get the flick from the church. And wonder why it is that good, full gospel preaching is always seen as hate speech. I have to think about that for a moment. When he was listening to the preaching on hell and the way out of it, all he heard was the preaching on hell. And why would that be? I have a theory. Can't claim to be Solomon and have the wisdom of a flake of the wisdom of God in my life, but this is my theory. That deep down in the heart of every single soul that has ever lived and drawn breath and grown to the age of knowing what's right and wrong, we know what is right and wrong. We know what a Christian should and shouldn't do. You try killing a fly in a company of lost people, you say, Christians shouldn't kill flies. You say, but they're filthy, dirty, they vomit over the food and slurp it up, and who knows where they last, what last meal they had. They're filthy. Oh, you shouldn't kill a wasp. They're going to sting me multiple times if I don't, and they buzz. You're always watching. I remember one getting down my neck and stinging me 3 or 4 times on the way down. That was not funny. So me and wasps, we have a deal. You don't bother me. I don't knock you to the ground and step on you. They always know. And when preaching on hell comes around, they lock in on the hell because they know they're not saved. And they say, oh, you're being hateful speaking on hell. I am not. I am sounding the alarm bell that the bridge is out at the end of your life, and if you don't find a different road, you are going to fall off and go down into the pit, just like the man that withstood Moses back in their day. Remember that? The ground opened up and they went alive down into the pit. It's crazy. Each of us knows. Is there not a verse of scripture that says, the Spirit in me beareth witness with the Spirit in you that we are the children of God? Surely that very same Spirit, you know yourselves, if you have ever spoken to a soul that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, you know within a moment or two of conversation, of their dress, of their the way they deport themselves, whether they're saved or not. And so when you speak of hell, you're immediately hateful. Even though you told them how to avoid it, you're hateful. That's the reason. Because souls know. Does anyone remember the account of the servants that were given the talents and told to go and occupy until I come? We know the first two, they did a bang up job, they lived their lives for their Lord, and they expanded his empire. But we remember the one who said, thou art an austere man. And why is that? Because that servant was so often in the firing line for not doing the right thing, he only ever saw the hard edge of God, the punishment and the chastening, the judgment. Because that's all there is for a lost soul, friends. There is no promise of peace. There is no promise of a new and a glorified body. There is no promise of that sin nature being gone for good. There is only judgment, and souls know it deep down in their hearts. Even if they don't understand, they don't like it. And so we get labelled hateful for warning people that the bridge is out. Oh, you're just trying to stop people from doing 50 miles an hour over the bridge. But the bridge is out. But we want to travel 50 miles an hour over the bridge. Hello? bridge is out. That's the way people are. You try talking to a lost soul about their eternity and you will understand. We know when we're saved. We know when we're lost. And the gospel has a way of sorting people. Friends, I'm glad, I just want to say to the folks in Bethel, I'm glad you have a dedicated that sounds too much like me patting myself on the back and saying how wonderful I am when I know I'm just a man and I have feelings like everybody else. I am glad there are men out there that do obey God. I am glad there are churches out there that will preach the full counsel of God's word. But if it doesn't have the King James Bible in the pulpit and in the seats that in front of you, the odds are you need to get up and you need to go and find. Even if it's a wee church out in the back of beyond with half a dozen people in it, I would far rather listen to the softly spoken truth than the loudly trumpeted lies that are just catching so many people. So many people. Doesn't matter who says it. If it's Pope, if it's Billy Graham, if it's Paisley, if it's me, I can't remember, the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, it doesn't matter. If it's different to what's in the Bible, that person is accursed. And the Bible says a dispensation of the gospel will be served against you. In other words, you set yourself in the sights of God. And when it comes to his children, he is not beyond giving you a bare bum smack behind the shed. Don't be afraid to challenge people on their false doctrines. In the right way, you'll know if someone needs just a little bit of direction and is open to that, or it's some gulping in the car park that's just out there to straighten out the world according to the Church of Ireland, whether they need to be helped or whether they need to be opposed. You'll know, and the Lord will give you wisdom as you go along. But if you don't, there's people are never going to know of another way. It was one of the reasons years ago, before COVID kicked off, that I would have gone on the radio. Because people need to know it's okay to say, all that stuff's complete and utter rubbish. The Bible says there's a better way. And it's proved it for thousands of years. People need to know. If you were sitting in your living room, watching the TV, and someone came up and started banging on the door, Mark, your house is on fire. I'm watching a good program. This is Star Wars. I'm halfway through. I'm just about to get to the bit of the first lightsaber battle. But Mark, your house is on fire. Leave me alone. We're the ones that need to be sounding the alarm. And the way things are going right now, there really should be a 5-alarm fire bell being sounded outside of most churches and people telling them to get out. And the church might not be on fire, but if you're not careful and you stay in there and you keep listening to them, you'll be on fire. And it'll never be put out. You know what, friends? Even those souls that are traitors, God loves them. They have to know about the Bible if they're preaching a different message. But God loves them too. But just because he does doesn't mean we roll over and let them have their own way. I'm not advocating a bunch of villagers with pitchforks and torches, don't get me wrong. If you ever come across a soul preaching a false gospel, don't be afraid to stand up and speak out. They need to hear just the same way as everybody else. But be warned, they're out there. They're not interested in the well-being or the saving of souls. Just in fine things and money and glory. And need to be withstood at any opportunity. Don't be afraid to do it. Let them do a wee secret. If you read your Bible, you pray to the Lord, if you take time to study your Bible, and you come across one of these fools preaching a false gospel, God will give you every single word you need to say to that guy. That is Jesus' promise to you and me as an individual. I will give you the words to speak, and it'll not be you that speaks, but it'll be the Holy Spirit speaketh in you. God loves you too, friends, and he has got everything that you need to live the way he needs for you to live, for souls to be pointed to the foot of the cross and the straight and the narrow. But beware of traitors. Never once in the Bible, never once, did God say, stay there and argue with them and keep going to the church because you'll be able to affect change from within. Never once. God said in Revelation 18, verse 4, I think it is, come out from among them and be ye separate. 2 Timothy 3, from such turn away. Go and find yourself a good gospel preaching Bible believing church that's not afraid to stand up and say the things that need to be said and the way that they need to be said, so that souls will be saved and edified and the enemies of Christ put to flight. Friends, thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll sing a song and then we will be dismissed. We are in the big book again. We are going to be singing 226, 226. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing and find a friend. 226. Each one of you, I pray for safe travels home, and Well, would you pray for us again and for us to make a few words?
Tell Father, thank you for the message that I screw up the heart to use the mighty apart from our lives, Lord, where we dedicate our lives more to you and to your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, the free gift of salvation, true and abundant love, that you sent your Son to die for us, Lord. Lord, pray for the people for this land and the city, especially, Lord, convict them of their sins and the need of a Savior, Lord, and of a life choice to make to God the Father, to ask of Jesus for salvation, Lord. Save us from many powerful, Lord, and save them throughout this land as well, Lord. Pray for us as we go to our homes and safely to our journey with us, Lord. Help us in a week to come, Lord. May we be Christ-centered, Lord, and may we talk to people that are lost, Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, sacrifice the free gift of salvation. Save us from many powerful, Lord. May they greatly be praised, Lord. And Lord, may we see a blessing in our lives, Lord. We offer to you, Lord, and may we praise a great glory and fly on our fly, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.